I am pretty convinced that Tim got up here and fooled with this computer to where it wouldn't work. I was like a man on a ship that was sinking. Got Leah to fix it for a while, and I looked at her and she said, "Don't look at me." I looked at Tim and he said, "I can't help you." So I thought, well, we got to do something. So I unplugged it all. We welcome you to the Port Hueneme Church of Christ. John is here with us all the way from Canada, and we appreciate you being here so much. So we're going to talk about dying before death, and if you remember last time I preached, we talked about this some, and Paul is going to go even deeper than what we went. We were baptized into Jesus Christ, and what a wonderful thing it is to think about, that not only are we a part of Christ, that we are the body of Christ, and being baptized into him, we then become a part of Christ and a part of each other, which is a wonderful thing. And we were baptized into his death. And therefore, it's like the Apostle Paul said, that he has been crucified with Christ, that we are crucified with Christ. And we died with Christ. When we died with Christ, we died to ourselves, and we were spiritually resurrected with Christ. In other words, we're spiritually, we have come there, but our body hasn't caught up yet. Our body will one day be redeemed, and we will be resurrected with that new body. And so that's how far we got. So we're starting over again, Romans 6, 4 through 12, and the reading was excellent this morning, but we're going to read it again. "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the one who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all time. But the life that he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, sin is not to reign in your mortal body, so that you obey it in its lusts." What a powerful passage. A powerful passage that says, you know what? Quit sinning. Get out of sin. You are dead to it. And if you're dead to sin, it's not going to reign over you anymore. And so we have changed kingship. The kingship of that reigning over us, sin reigning over us, to the kingship of Jesus Christ and righteousness. So he says, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." So united is something that is commonly used to describe welding two things together into a single unit. And so he says, when you are baptized, you are united, you are built into something. You are built in, and we find that in John 15, 1 through 8, that he shows us how we are wielded together. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch, dries up, and they gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, you shall ask what you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So what he is saying is, just like whenever the vine and the branches, whenever you're baptized, you are made a one with Christ. You come into that, and you remember we talked about we sit in heavenly places in Christ. We are reigning with him, if you please. And so he is pointing out that we have become one with him. And then, what is the meaning of the likeness of his death? Have you ever thought of that? What does it mean, the likeness of his death? And I want to suggest that baptism is the picture of that. Baptism is certainly showing us something about it. And I realize that something really and actually happens in baptism, and that is God works his operation upon us. Before that, we have accepted Christ. Now Christ is going to accept us, and we are going to become one with Christ or the body of Christ. Baptism is considered the place where we become united with Christ in his death. And then people say, I remember debating a fellow one time, and the fellow looked behind the curtain, and he said, I don't see any blood in there. And I said, well, only Christians can see it. And that's true. And so on the spiritual side of baptism, we did not become united merely with the likeness of Christ's death, but with his death itself. So spiritually, we became united with his death. This is how Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. He became a part of that death. He suffered with Christ, but in his mind recognized. And on the physical level, baptism, immersion, is a symbolic likeness of that death. In other words, there's a perfect picture whenever you see somebody being baptized into the water and coming up out of it, you're seeing a picture of what something that's happening spiritually. Something inside of you is really happening with God. And I know many people say it's only a picture, but it's more than a picture, it's a reality. And this certainly pictures it whenever we're baptized. He says, for the one who has died is freed from sin. Now, isn't that a wonderful feeling? To be freed from sin. That means, very simply, and we're going to get into this, but it means that that's no longer the reigning thing in my life. I learned very young how to practice sin and practice it well. And then you have to learn when you come into Christ how to practice righteousness. And that's quite a learning process, and you have to grow in that. It takes a while to grow into Christ. In baptism, the inner man or spirit experiences death and resurrection with Christ, but the outer man or the body does not. In other words, this doesn't change anything about the body when you're baptized. The body is still the same. We still have the same thing. We still have the same desires. We still have all of those things when we come up out of the water. But something has changed inside. The old man has been gotten rid of. Every Sunday there's a phone goes off somewhere. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outward man person is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So it's wonderful when you get 90 years old, like a fellow that I know, it's wonderful that your old body is, you can feel it leaving, you can feel it mortality that you have. But inside you can be growing and growing and growing and more vibrant than you were even when you were young. Now, my mind doesn't think quite as well as it used to, but at least I can get up here and at least I can talk a little bit for a while. And sometimes it may not seem right, but my tongue gets in the way sometimes. In Ephesians 3:16, he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self. And when that inner self, have you ever just been reading the Bible and all of a sudden it's like a light bulb goes on and all of a sudden I saw something that I hadn't seen before and I get so excited because I figured something out and that I hadn't seen before. That's why when we're reading the Bible, do you realize that we come across something new just about every time we study the Bible? I still study baptism and I still learn things about baptism. So it's a wonderful thing, that inner man being strengthened every day and we getting closer and closer to God over and over and over. And it's a wonderful feeling. In Hebrews 6:6, the old man is the inner man as it once existed under the control of sin. And so that old man is what we're talking about this morning. It no longer exists as the old man. It is taken off of you. The old man dies. The old man, he was crucified with Christ. If I keep that in my mind every day, that I have been crucified with Christ, that I died, if I keep that in my mind, then I can keep that inner man growing. If I forget that, I will not grow on the inner man. So what does that mean? It means that the benefit of the cross comes to me. We talked this morning in Bible class a little bit about Jesus dying upon the cross, and the essential part is the death of Christ, but that's not the essential part, really. The essential part is that he died for our sins. Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and he was raised for our justification. And if you remember in the Bible, really what it's saying is this is what you have to get into your mind first. And he says, this is what I delivered to you first, how that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose the third day. We need to get that into our mind. And the other parts of the gospel is this is what Christ did for us. And if you read Ephesians and Colossians, this is what Christ did for us. The other parts of the Bible is this is our response to it. This is how we respond to what God has done. This is how we live in response to that. So it all fits together gloriously. And the penalty for sin is paid for by Christ. And I want to get this, and I believe this, and I know some people disagree. That's okay. Christ did not take your sins. He paid for your sins. If he took your sins, he would become a sinner. He did not do that. The old man died. He was literally murdered in our baptism. He did not die willingly, but was slain as one cursed by God. If you hang on that tree with Christ, you have been cursed. And God says now you are going to get the rewards of the cross, of what was done upon that cross, because the old man has been killed, and he's been killed by God because of what God did. In the very first century, the word baptize, it was associated with violence. In other words, if it means to immerse, or it was used of people drowning or a ship going down. The ship had been baptized. It had went down under. So something happens wonderfully in baptism, and that is we get rid of the old man. The old man is no longer really the problem. We're going to see that all the way through. Thus, it makes sense when Jesus says that his crucifixion is a baptism and tells others that they're going to be able to suffer with them in that way. So was our old self crucified so that the body of sin might be done away with? What is the body of sin? So let's define it this way. The body of sin is fleshly thinking or walking in the flesh. Do you follow that? Walking in the flesh, the desires of the flesh. That's the old man. The old man is those desires that take the body and makes the body do things that we shouldn't do. It no longer controls our life. It is subject to our spirit. If I were to lay it out, I would put it this way. That our flesh we can see, that is our body. And then you have the soul that is going to be taught. It's going to be taught by the flesh, or it's going to be taught by the spirit. The spirit wants the things of God and things that are good. And then the spirit says, shut up, flesh, we're going to direct you. And the spirit starts guiding you according to what the Holy Spirit is guiding you to do. So our spirit is being led by the Holy Spirit. By the way, if anybody disagrees, I'll be happy to talk with you afterwards. We overcome the desires of the flesh. Now, this is not an easy thing to do. If you've cursed a long time in your life, it takes a little while to get that out of your mind. And you have to practice and practice and practice. But you're being helped by the Spirit as He directs you in the Word, and the Word becomes predominant in your mind. So it's mortification of the deeds of the body. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? Mortify the deeds of your body. How do you do that? Well, I think Nancy Reagan said it once pretty well one time. She says, you say no. How do you say no and mean it? Did you ever try to quit smoking if you smoked? You quit a thousand times, and then one day you quit. You finally say no and mean it. It's like going to a dinner, and you go to the dinner, and you're overweight, and you just love to eat, and you get to feeling bad, and you go to the doctor. The doctor says, well, you're going to have to lose weight. You're going to have to eat the right thing. And I said, well, that means I'm going to have to eat salad? Yeah, something like that. That's what it means. Okay. And so I go home, and there I am. I'm eating salad. I get to feeling a little better. And then finally, one day, Paige comes out with a big cake. I can see the cake. I can smell the cake as she cuts it. And I finally say, well, I'm not going to let any stupid doctor tell me what to eat. And I eat it. And then I get to feeling bad. And each time it costs me $100 every time I go to the doctor. Finally, I get back to the doctor again. I said, man, I'm feeling terrible. He said, well, you won't feel terrible very long. You don't need to come to me anymore. You're going to die. You'll be dead very shortly. You know what? He just put it in a way that I go home and I eat salad and I say no to the cake. And God says, I'm putting it in a way of what I've done out of love to where you can say no to it. You don't have to do it anymore. Isn't that great? Mortify it. In Galatians 5, 16, 7, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. I'm not sure that word Spirit ought to be capitalized, but I'm not going to argue about it. One of the things the Spirit can do, it fights with the flesh. The two are fighting. It's like you have those pictures of an angel over here and a devil over here, and they're wanting this. You can overcome this if you stick with the Word of God, if you let the Word of God live in you. Many people read the Word of God, but they don't let the Word of God live in them. This is saying let the Word of God live in you, or let the Spirit. And remember, the Spirit is the candle of the Lord. It's that which God speaks through. And so whenever you get ready, the Lord is speaking, and you say, boy, this is so right, and you let it dictate to you. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. And the lusts here is not that you want to eat or something. The lust is the bad lusts. Beloved, I urge you as foreigners and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage against the soul. So he's saying, take control, let the Spirit guide you, and let it guide your spirit, and your spirit guide your soul, and you put to death the mortal man over here that's trying to war against you. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3-3, I affirm, brothers and sisters, by the boasting of which you have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. How do you do that? Well, every day you say, I'm going to buffet my body. I'm not going to let my body control me anymore as far as its lust in doing that which is wrong. And I'm going to put it to death today. Do I still want to do those things? Yes, but I can't do those things. It doesn't mean you can't. It means that in your mind, I can't do that, period. In Mark 8:35, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. So he's saying the same thing in a different way. He is pointing out you can't live following the dictates of your fleshly desires. In Romans 6:11-13, consider yourselves dead to sin. We've read that. But alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. What does that mean? It means before it was the king, you just simply couldn't help yourself because the urge was so great. But you have been enlivened inside, and I can overcome this. Do not go upon presenting the parts of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your body parts as instruments of righteousness for God. If I'm going to do something instead of slapping you, I'm going to give you a hug. Did that make sense? I want to give you a hug instead of a slap. I'm not going to do what my body wants to do. I don't know that you realize it, but members are cantankerous. They're hard to get along with sometimes. Love them, God says. Love them. Powerful passage here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Here I am, God, and I'm taking this something alive. I'm presenting it to you, and it becomes yours. I want it to be an offering to you. I'm sacrificing this body to you so that it's going to serve you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God is and what is good and acceptable and perfect. What we do as Christians, I want you to follow this, what we do as Christians is not just imitate other Christians, but we can prove from the Word of God that what we are doing is acceptable and right. We have to be able to prove that. I can, otherwise I'm having your faith and not my faith. My faith has to be in what I discover in the Word of God. The old man is crucified so that the body of sin might be done away with. So what does this mean? The object of the action is not destroyed or done away with. That is, you still want to sin. You still want to do these things. But it's defeated and disabled so that it loses its power. That's what it means. In this sense, Satan himself was rendered powerless by the death of Christ. Therefore, since the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of this same, so that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is the devil. When Christ arose from the dead, the devil's power over that was done. He cannot affect you in any way. That's why Jesus said, you shall never die. Why? Because I'm in Christ. And when he broke the gates of death, he broke it so that man can come to heaven, can be in that place. So the soul itself undergoes healing from the sin that has infected it, but it gains power over the not yet redeemed body, sin. You can make your body do what you want it to and consistently do it. Many people do good without even realizing they're doing good. A Christian does good because he realizes this pleases God. There's a big difference there of why we do what we do. I do it because it pleases God and I love God. It's true the body of sin continues to be a problem or a staging point for temptation and lusts of all kinds. And the body no longer has a willing partner. In other words, this body that likes to sin, it doesn't have a partner anymore. That was partnered up was the soul. No, we've changed everything. The Spirit is now guiding. So we still have the tension that's remaining. And with that tension there, we can say, as we pointed out, that if we say we have no sin, we lie. But sin is not dominant in our lives. The sin that we happen, it may happen, but it's not because we have done it on purpose. Sin just automatic. I've never made it a day that I didn't have to ask God for forgiveness. I need it every day. It means that I'm not perfect, but it means that I'm putting my trust in the one that is perfect, and I'm trying to be like him. So the old man was crucified with the purpose that the body of sin should be rendered powerless. And this body of sin is rendered powerless with the purpose that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So this does not mean that we will never sin again. The power of sin that remains in our body still seeks to enslave us. And our raised new life spirit takes control to where we can keep it in control. So there's a vast difference between committing a sin and constantly living and delighting in sin. For one who has died from sin, now if you have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Dying with Christ sets us free from that power. Death marks the end of sin's rule. And the main reference here is to our renewed spiritual life, which began with our resurrection with Christ in baptism. So living to God, our total life is to be dedicated to God. Tim preached a great sermon on consecration last week, that we should be consecrated to be holy before God. And it means dying with Christ, sin, and self, and the world. We die to all of those things. And then we let Christ rule in our life. And that rule in life is going to be righteousness. Everything that Christ does is right. Everything he tells us to do is right. And we imitate Christ and glorify God. That's our purpose in life, to glorify God. And then, if you recognize, if you are not a Christian, you're lost. And being lost, I don't think you can imagine what that's like. If you think about in a forest and you can only see trees and you don't know where you're at. But to be lost is to be ever away from God. Ever away from God. And that's tragedy. You can stop that right now. You can obey the gospel. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know how much he loves you? That he gave his only begotten son to die for you on the cross? And that you need to repent? That is, change your mind about who's going to direct your life. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then be baptized and have your sins washed away. And you come in contact with the blood of Christ in his death. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?